Okay, how are we doing today, people?
Good.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what time the ladies are all coming back today, but I know they had a good time. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your great love. Thank you for watching over us and protecting us and keeping us safe. And we purpose to have ears to hear, hearts to perceive and understand your truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says this, that Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they are, right? It says, in contrary to hope, he believed in hope so that he became the father of many nations, right? According to what was spoken, we believe, therefore we have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Now notice it says that contrary to hope, he believed in hope. Right? Which means when there was no hope, what did he do? He believed. And yet the Bible says that as he gave glory to God, he became what? Strengthened. Now this is interesting because sometimes in our lives, the very thing that we need to do, of course, we don't feel like doing. And one of those things would be what? Giving glory to God. Because, oh, it's a sad day, it's a hard day, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. But here it says that, I need the mic, do I? Do I need the mic?
It's on if you can.
Maybe for the recording.
Yeah.
It's on,
right? It's not on?
It's on.
Okay. So it says that Abraham, against hope, I thought she glued it in there. Against hope, he believed in hope, right? He hoped in what? In God. And so even, and the Bible says that because of this hope that he would give glory to God through his what? By his believing or through his faith. Now, what is interesting here, and I've seen different things along this line before, but what I didn't notice before was this. I've noticed where I thought, yeah, Abraham is giving glory to God, and because he is, his faith is being strengthened. You know, like he could be looking at this problem looks so big, and he could say, God, I know you're bigger than that problem. You can do this. You can help me with this, right? And that's one way. Your faith can grow as you what? Thank God, as you praise God, as you magnify him, you build your own faith in him. But the other side of this is that Abraham brought glory to God by his believing in God. The very fact that he believed God brought God glory. You know, sometimes you think, I want to glorify you, Lord, right? How would you do that? How can you do that? What's one way you can do that? One way you can do that is by believing him. Living your life like what he said is true. Does that make sense? That brings him what? Glory. That brings him honor. So it says that, well, and when God says something, you know how if God said it, he doesn't care if it takes a day, a month, a year, a decade, right? It's going to happen. He's not moved. He's not worried. When he said, you know, there's coming one, telling the devil, when there's coming one who's going to crush you, right? It didn't happen the next day. But over a period of time, what? It happened. How about you and I? When we say we're going to believe God, okay, after one day, you're thinking, okay, God, any time now, hurry, help me. After a week, you're like, oh, maybe he didn't hear me. After a month, you're like, oh, God, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared. But does that bring glory to God when we act that way toward his word? No. If, on the other hand, if you said, hey, I don't care how long I have to wait, I'm going to wait until I get the answer, until the answer shows up. Does that bring God glory? Yes. What if you had to wait 5 years? I don't know, that's a long time, right? But if you got the answer for the thing that you were believing, what would it matter? And in that whole time, you keep giving what? God glory. You keep worshiping the Lord. You keep honoring him. You keep thanking him for doing what he said he would do. Now you just think about this. Here's what I want something for you to think about. Is how has God sustained you up until this point? He brought you through so much, right? He's kept you. He's protected you. He's provided for you. And if he's brought you this far, don't you think he can carry you the whole way? Amen? If he brought you this far, because a lot of people, what? They didn't make it this far. And one reason they didn't make it this far is because, it's not because God doesn't love them or doesn't care. But here's the thing we're going to look at today, is our faith is connected to how we honor God. This is huge. And this is one reason Abraham brought glory to God. Why? Because he believed him. He honored God by believing what God said, by believing his word. So, you know, Abraham was not moved by what he could see, but he grew strong as he gave glory to God, verses 18 and 19. His purposeful act of giving glory to the Lord strengthened what? His faith. And Abraham, being strong in faith, gave glory to the Lord. As Abraham gave glory to God, his faith even grew stronger. Or the glory he brought to God was even bigger, right? And I was talking with my daughter recently, my oldest daughter. I won't say her name, but she's here. And she was saying how there's, you know, going through school and different things like that. And people say, well, I'm, you know, she's a senior in high school and everyone wants this and they want that and they brag. You know, it's like a brag session in schools, really what's going on. Like you never really care about what somebody else gets on their test. You just want to see if you beat them. Right? Because that makes you feel good. You really don't care. Like, hey, what'd you get? Oh, keep trying. I got a little bit higher. Just keep trying. But it's interesting because I was talking to her and then these, quote, really smart kids haven't, you know, they've applied to all these different colleges and they keep saying denied, 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 denied. And she goes, I don't understand. I said, I do. It's not about how smart you are in Christian kids. It's about, are you honoring God? Are you giving God glory? Are you believing him? Are you trusting in him? And see, Abraham said that he had great faith, but one of the things he did, he what? Honored God. Now, 2 Thessalonians, look at there real quick. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I think this verse is really the characteristic of our life. I think this is what should mark or be a quality approval stamp, what have you, of our life. It says this, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. See, this is Our faith should be growing exceedingly, right? You know, if we look back 5 years ago or 10 years ago, our faith should be what? Growing since then. We should have come up higher, right? And one way we know we come up higher or moving up is if what? Our love is growing. Our, is abounding. Abounding in which way? Toward each other. How do we love Him? By what? Loving one another. So you see that this should describe our lives. We should be experiencing things at a higher level as things go by. Our faith should be growing and our love should be increasing, because faith works by what? By love. And so these are connected. These should be like signposts in our life. How is our faith doing? Is it growing? Are we growing? How do I know if we're growing? Do I love? Is my love real? Is it genuine? Is it being demonstrated one to another? Right? So if I'm lacking something, this is like for me, if I'm praying and I'm not getting answers to my prayers, well then the first thing I would look at is, do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Because that's not love, right? If the Bible says faith works by love, but if I say I have big faith, then I need to have what? Really big love. And if I can't forgive, that's not walking in love. That's going to hinder my prayer of what? Faith. So the first thing I do, regardless of how I feel or what I see, is if something isn't quite right, I have to go back. Do I have any unforgiveness? Is there something I let slip? And then I make the adjustments, I repent, I get done with it right away, real quick. Amen? So, and this is the same thing when you look at Abraham. He's the father, he's called the father of our faith, the father of many nations. Why? Because he believed God. And so the question would be, what are we believing God for? What are you, what am I believing God for in our life that will bring Him what? Glory. Bringing Him glory. Okay, 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. It says this. Well, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, look at verse 7. Verse 7. Scroll down. Okay. It says here, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found in praise and honor and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? So here, what do we see? We see that the revelation of your faith, it's more precious. Now, this is something interesting. You know how many times people say this? You've heard this. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, He said, will I find faith? And a lot of people think that faith is just so abundant and everywhere and plentiful, right? People, oh, everyone's got faith. Yes, anybody. Oh, I have faith. I believe in God. But that's not really what He's talking about here. Because there's a lot of people who believe in God, that He's real and that He might exist. But this real faith is, do you believe God to do what He said He would do for you? This is going to be a little bit different. You got a problem, right? And God's, you look at His word, and He said in His word that He would supply your needs, right? Whatever you need you have, He said He would supply it. But you look at the circumstances, and those circumstances are contrary to what His word says. Or what about healing? Healing's a good example, right? If you need healing, He said, I am the Lord, what? That heals you. But we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His word, right? So I have to hear more and more about how much God wants me well for my faith to be built up in that area. Does that make sense to you? The more you hear something, the more you have a tendency to believe it. Remember the one illustration I said, I want to give everybody here $20? Do you remember that? No. And nobody believed me. Very few, right? I said, come on up, I want to give someone $20. I have money to give you. And nobody came up. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going, I'm keeping this now. But then I showed people the money. You know how they say, show me the money? And I take out, okay, I brought money. I can give $20 to every family. I gotta cut it off because there's some big family. You know, I don't want to say every person, but every family. Oh, okay, now I believe. Well, one, you saw it, but two, you heard it. And you know I wanted to. So then faith came, right? Does that make sense? Faith comes. And this is the same thing. Notice here, he said that your faith, the genuineness of your faith. Now, there's a lot of people in this world who don't love God and who don't want anything to do with God, who don't want anything to do with His Word. So don't just assume, you know, we could assume that everybody has faith. That's not so, right? And then he says this, your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. You know, people have to dig around for gold, right? Is it just laying on the top of the ground and the surfaces? No, you got to dig for it. Costs money, it's deep. You know, you got to pan for it. When people find there's gold somewhere, they go on the gold rush. You remember? You don't want to go mining for gold. Go to California, that's where the gold is, right? All that type of thing. You remember that? So, what about faith? He said, if your faith is more precious than gold, that means it's not just anywhere. Not everybody has it. And how do you demonstrate it? Look at it. He said, he may be found to praise, honor, and here's another word, glory. Honor and glory. Having to do with your faith. Honor and glory to who? To the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this is where it gets, you know, for me it's really interesting because you look through Scripture and when you use the word honor, what does honor mean? It means, well, one could say to respect, to receive, to, you know, to show humility that somebody else is above you, right? And you're below them. If I said, are we going to honor the Lord? What does that mean? Let's honor our special guest. And people go, that means they get to go first. Like if there's a buffet or food or something like that, right? Let's honor, I think that's the Bible verse of the day right there coming in on my phone. Bible verse of the day, just clicked it. So if I'm going to honor you, that means I show you what? Preference. Put you first. Amen? Thinking about you before myself. When we honor the Lord, what do? We put Him what? First. That means He's up here and we're what? Beneath. We're below. And if we do that, the Bible says, as we honor the Lord, He will what? Honor us. But notice here the connection between honor and glory. This is a big deal. As we honor the Lord, it's a way, it's a means that we show Him glory. We give Him glory. Because not everybody will do that. Right? Look at John. You know, 1 John chapter 5, let's go there and we'll start with verse 41. But 1 Corinthians 15, you don't have to turn there, you can write it down if you want. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that in heaven, people will shine with greater light or lesser light. They will shine like the stars in the heavens, right? And really that shining that they're talking about is in the indication of how you honor the Lord here. And the glory you give Him is the glorious crown, the crown of glory, that you will what? Receive. A crown of light. You know, like twinkle, twinkle, little star. Right? You know, you look up in the sky, there's some stars that are brighter than others. Amen? And here, 1 Corinthians 15 is just telling you, hey, you want to shine bright for the Lord. How can you do that? Bring Him glory here. How do you do that? By believing Him. By honoring Him. By saying, Lord, you said it. Others believe it. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to put you first. Right? So look at John 5. Let's get verse 41. Now, listen. This is going to be good. This should help us. Amen? It says, Jesus is speaking, and He's talking to the most religious people of His day. Right? Not us. Not religious. We like relationship, right? But these guys are the religious people of His day. And He says, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come to my in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Now here Jesus is speaking about how, you know, I don't receive honor from men. And what's another word you could use or link honor to? Glory from men. He said, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Now he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's saying, I know you. You don't have God's love in you. Because I'm not trying to get honor from men because I love God. Okay, let's flip that around for us. When we try to give or desire that people honor us or esteem us, this is when we seek this. Are we seeking God or are we seeking self? Self, right? When we want people to honor us, or in this case, he says, well, let's keep it. If another ought comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who you receive in honor from one another and you do not seek the honor that comes from the only God, from the only the Lord? How come you want honor from men and you don't want the honor from God? Why? People go, I want to be recognized, I want to do this. But you don't want God to recognize you? You just want man to recognize you, and you recognize man more than you do God? Right? And he's saying this to the religious people who are supposed to know God. He says, I've come that I may honor the Father and bring him what? Bring him glory. How do you honor him? This comes back to humility and honor versus pride and self. You know, I could say, what do people think about me? I don't want to do that because people might think me of this. They might say something about me. You know, or even if I, you know, if I was up here singing, you don't want that. You don't want that. You want my daughter singing much better, much better. But if I was up here singing, and I'm so concerned about what you're thinking, am I honoring God? No. I'm in fear of man. I'm trying to be a man, what? Pleaser. Make sense? Because if my thoughts are consumed about what people are thinking alone, I want to put on a good show. This got to be entertaining. Then what am I missing? I'm missing about him. I'm not honoring him. This is a big deal. You know, this is not a, in our lives, are we in a production just because of what we want other people to think? Or are we really trying to genuinely honor God? Not that we don't care whatever people think and just, you know, live any kind of way. But what's the heart behind here? What's our heart? And here, Jesus is linking honor and glory to God by believing God and trusting what he said. This is where your faith is really measured. Is how am I believing him? I want to be strong in faith. Well, be strong in honoring God. This is key, right? Amen? This is where the Bible says, children, honor your parents in the Lord. Show them what? Respect. They are above you. You understand? They're your parents. You honor them. So why? Why? So it will go well with you. Because honor is a form of what? Humility. It's just like when people come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to put you high. I want to lift you high. Why? Because he's up here. Then that means you're below him, right? When people don't want to honor God, what are they saying? I'm up here. God's down there. They exalt them what? Themselves above him. It's not what you want to do. It's not what I want to do. So when you look at James chapter 4. Let's go to James chapter 4. Now, this is interesting because do you remember, not in James, but in Mark, where he talks about the different kinds of seeds that were sown into the ground? Some seed was cast on the wayside. Some seed was what? Trodden underfoot. People just stepped on it. Well, what does that mean? Someone just steps on the word of God. It means, is that showing honor to the word? No. Is that showing respect? No. Look at your neighbor. Say, no. No, find a neighbor, look at him. No, no. It's not showing respect, right? Which means I'm not honoring the word. And because he, you know, because they didn't honor the word, could it help them? Could it do something for them? No, it couldn't, right? Look at here, in James 4:7. It says this, submit to God, right? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, right? Submit, of course, we don't like that word. People in modern day think that's a bad word, submit, right? But submission isn't something that's forced. Submission is something that you do from your heart that you want to do. It's submitting your will. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission, did Jesus even submit to the will of God? And in the garden, did he say, not my will, right? Father, not my will, but your will be done? So submission is of a free choice. You know, I could tell my wife, you better submit to me. I'll get you in a headlock. You better submit and say uncle, because, you know, I could do it. And then, even if I did that, it's not really submission because in her heart, or it could be the other way. Wow, you know, the wife could grab the husband in the headlocks and you better submit, right? Whatever it is, if it's not from the heart, it's not real submission. Yet Jesus, no one could question his faith. I mean, his faith was top notch. And yet he still submitted to the will of God to bring what? Honor and glory to God. So when you look at faith, and when the Bible says we go from faith to faith, you could say we go from glory, in the same verse it says from glory to glory, from honoring God to honoring God. How we demonstrate our honor to God is by believing him. You see, you understand. If the Bible says you will shine like lights in the heaven, right? Jesus said, let your light shine. Remember as a kid, we got this little light of mine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Beautiful song, right? And as an adult, you don't think you have that little light anymore? What started out little should be bigger, right? As you grow, because our faith grows, that little light should be like a laser beam now. I mean, big spotlight should be more concentrated, should be what? Brighter. You know, you see people, they turn off their phones and they wave them and, you know, but you know, I've seen pictures. I haven't been to the concerts, but I've seen them. You know, they wave their phones. They let their light shine. But that's kind of religious and humanistic in thinking. Because do you really think that's your light? No. Your light, the Bible says, he's talking about your light, your faith. As you believe God, you give glory to God, right? As you give glory to him by your believing him, think about this for a moment. I'm just trying to encourage you, build us up in this idea of how do we honor God? By believing him. How do you let your light shine? How do you give him glory? It's by believing him, just like Abraham. By honoring him. Say, Lord, I want to honor you. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to believe you my whole life. I mean, I might fall, I'll get back up. I'll repent. I keep going. But as we honor him, it says that you shall receive a crown of what? Glory that will not pass away. That means you receive a bright light, a bright crown. Now you think about a crown, I mean a shining crown. Do you want a really dim light or do you want a bright light? Bright light, right? Everybody wants a bright light. And so how do we get that, quote, bright light? Is we honor him. We believe him. Just like Abraham. Abraham simply believed God. And they said he brought him what? Glory. Jesus said, you seek your own honor and your own glory. Right? So here in James, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5. You know, sometimes I think we go through life and we wonder, Lord, I want to bring you honor, I want to bring you glory, how can I do that, right? And one really easy way to bring him honor and glory is just to believe what he said. Well, he said it, it must be so. So look at this, 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 4. It says this, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not, what? Fade away. So when he appears, you're going to receive a crown of glory that won't fade away. It won't grow dim. It won't need any solar power, no Duracells, nothing. It won't fade away. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit, what? To your elders. All of you, be submissive one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. Okay, scroll up. Next verse. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to what? The humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And what's one way you do that? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So he says, as you submit, really when you look at the word submit, it also means to what? Honor. Yield. To give up what you want to the will of somebody else. Now, if I wanted to do something, and one thing submission is not, let me just tell you this, it's not agreement. Like, if you wanted to go somewhere, like say I wanted to go, my wife wanted to go somewhere. And I said, hey, let's go to a movie. She goes, yeah, that sounds great. I go, which one do you want to go to? She goes, oh, I want to go to this one drama with this girl, finds this husband. No, I don't want to go see that one. I need something more action-oriented, right? But eventually, if I go, okay, I'll submit. It's only submission when I'm not in agreement. I can't submit my will when it's what I want to do anyway. Does that make sense? When you're in agreement, that is not submission. Because people go, oh, submission's really easy. No, it's not. Because it's not agreement. It's not, well, when Jesus was in the garden and he sweat great drops of blood, because his first and second layer of skin separated and blood filled it and it came out through his pores with so much pressure he was under, he wasn't in agreement with what the Father wanted. But yet he submitted what he wanted, put it below or esteemed what the Father wanted, made that higher, right? Does that make sense? So when he did that, that was not agreement. That was a conflict of his own self-interest. Yet he submitted what he wanted to do to the will of the Father. So when the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another, that means, you know, prefer one another. Let somebody else go first. Don't try to get the bigger slice. You know, as kids, you want the first slice, the biggest slice, and hurry up and eat the biggest slice so you can get back and get the second slice, which is the next one that's the next biggest slice. You're not thinking of, no, you go first. No, go first. No, you go first. I heard a story one time that I think is pretty appropriate. Is in heaven and in hell, people have these 3-foot forks. They're at this banquet table, right? This table was huge. And people had these 3-foot forks like strapped to their arms. And it's like, man, that's a big fork. The problem was this, was one group was happy, one group was sad. Like, why is that? Because they couldn't, you could stab the food, but like, for example, in hell, they couldn't eat it because the forks were so big. They couldn't feed themselves. But in heaven, everybody was happy. You know why? Because they're reaching across the table feeding each other. So it just depends. I mean, you got these forks, big, long forks, stuck on your arms, and you can't feed yourself because you're thinking about self. And you got all this great food. You think, what's the point? Well, the point is, like in heaven, you're thinking of somebody else. You can reach across the table and help feed them, and then they feed you. You're submitting to one another. This goes back to where we talked about faith should be increasing. Love should be abounding. How? In your humility. And how you honor, how we honor one another. Right? So here, Peter says, submit to God, or humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it says, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, who is looking for someone to what? To devour. When it all comes down to it, our idea, our concept, our vision of God and faith is about honor. It's about humility. It's, Lord, I love you. I'm going to believe your word. And as we do that, that brings what? God glory. And Jesus said, you know, the most religious people of his day didn't bring God glory. They didn't care about honoring God. They cared about honoring what? Man. And James, he tells us, don't just give somebody the nicest seat just because of the way they look. They come in, they all dressed real nice. Oh, you want to feed them the best. Give them the best seat. Treat them the nicest because of what? What they might do for you. You don't realize that they got that way by taking advantage of a lot of people. Right? They could have. And he says, they sue each other all the time. Why are you trying to show them honor? Why are you trying to give them respect? He said, what about the guy who comes in, he doesn't have many, his clothes are dirty, he's kind of looking poor, kind of scraggly, and you just kick him off to the side and say, go sit on the floor in the corner. I got big people I'm dealing with. And you don't realize those big people are the ones who sued him or beat him up, took his clothes, made him dirty, kicked him out. You understand? How do you bring God honor? By believing him, by loving him, right? By showing humility in your life. Recognizing that it all comes, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, where did you get those? It comes from God. You know some things you're just naturally good at? People, I'm naturally good at a lot of stuff. Well, great, that's wonderful. Okay, that's fine. But where did you get those talents? You go, I was born with them. Well, wonderful. Well, where'd you get them then? From him, from God. He gave you those graces and those talents and that ability so you could bring him what? Glory. Not just here on the earth, but that he would reward you for all eternity. So I'm going to, and you know, it doesn't take, hey, you might have missed it, I might have missed it. Just get right, make it right, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll make it right. I repent. You know, I remember a guy, he's part of our youth group back in the day, and he got away from the Lord in a big way. He got involved and he started selling drugs and things like that. And so he comes to me one day, he says, you gotta pray for me. He's a tough guy now, his voice changed. Gotta pray for me. His voice used to be, you know, hey, how you doing? But now that he's a tough guy selling drugs, you know, their voice changes. It's like, hey, God, pray for me. What's the problem? I said, what's the problem? He's like, I've got to go to court. I got framed. I'm like, what do you mean you got framed? What happened? Well, they got me with drugs. They searched my house and found out. They framed you in your house? He's like, well, these other guys, they narked on me. I'm like, wait a minute. Stop. Stop. Can we rewind this? And at the time, you have a mandatory sentence. I don't know if it was 5 or 10 years because you had crystal methamphetamines, right? And yet you say they're framing you. I say, here's the problem. You're deceived. I go, you haven't thought about all the lives of people you're ruining and, you know, the parents, the children you're hurting and all these types of things. And you're not even repentant over that. How far have you come across? How far have you left the Lord? When was the last time you were about? A long time ago. I can tell. I said, but you got to go to jail if you go to the judge and tell him it's his fault and that they framed you. You need to take responsibility. Plead guilty. Say, I did it. It's your first offense, but you still did it. But being proud and prideful isn't going to help you. You need to be humble, and you just need to repent and tell them, I'm sorry, I shouldn't, if that's what you feel. And then don't do it anymore. So I remember the day, I didn't go to the court day, but I remember the day, and then after that time, I saw him a couple of days later. I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, they gave me probation. They didn't put me in jail. I said, what'd you tell the judge? He said, I told him I did it, I was wrong, I was being stupid, I'm sorry, I deserve jail, but be merciful. Something along that line. The judge gave him mercy, right? I said, no, don't do that anymore, right? And sometimes it's like that with us. If we will honor God, Lord, I was being dumb, I was being foolish, forgive me. He'll forgive you. Why? Because he says he gives more grace to what? To the humble. What is grace? Grace is that thing that you can naturally do that comes from him. He'll give you more of that. You know, sometimes you might have a fear of this, and some people don't have a fear of that. And you just do things really well in certain things. And then God will give you more ability to do that. More grace. More grace. How? Because you trust him. Amen? You're honest. You're humble. This is a big deal. Because there's a lot of people who don't want to be humble, who don't want to show any type of humility. They just want to be proud. Yeah, I'm poor, but I'm proud. Well, that's not good. You could be rich and be humble. Amen? So when you look at great faith, when you look at humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know God's not going to humble you? Do you know that? Why? Because it's a choice of your heart. But as you choose to be humble and you honor him, the Bible says as you believe him and you just believe his word, it says that he gives you glory, right, and honor. He will honor you. Why? Because you honored him. This is what brings glory to God. As you honor him, you just believe his word. Just like Abraham brought glory to God. What did Abraham do? He just believed God. That's it. His whole life, I'm just going to believe God. Because God said so. This is a light shining in a dark world. When you believe God. When you just keep believing him. You know, it's pretty dark out there, right? It can be dark during the daytime. There's a lot of unbelief, a lot of fear, a lot of, you know, division, a whole bunch of stuff going on in the world. And you just let your light shine. How? By believing God. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to be joyful. Faith rejoices. I'm going to rejoice. God, you'll get me through this. People, oh, you don't know. You don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to rejoice. I'm telling you, this is the key to get you out. To bring you up, to bring you out of something. As you just keep rejoicing, giving what? Glory to God. You notice, I'll just close in this with this. I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Right? You can bring it up, it'd be great, Vincent. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father who's in heaven. You know, think about that. How do you let your light shine? The Bible says that the day of the righteous, their light will shine brighter and brighter until the perfect day. God wants your light to shine. One way, as you just keep rejoicing, you keep praising him and you keep thanking him for being faithful and bringing you out and bringing you up and sustaining you. The Bible says that the world will see it. And they'll give who glory? They'll give God glory. You don't want the glory, do you? No. Because it wasn't your ability or talent or skill anyway. It all came from him. You want God to get the glory. Just like Jesus. He said, I come that I might glorify my Father. Well, you want to glorify your Father. And one way you do that is by honoring him. Simply by believing him. You know, it says, let your light shine. That means don't let someone blow it out. Why would somebody blow out your light? Because you're more concerned about what they think than what the Lord thinks. Amen? The more we could be, you know, afraid to speak up and speak out when the Lord prompts us. We could be afraid to tell people the truth. We could be afraid of what they think or what they don't think. And if you just recognize, hey, I'm going to bring God glory. I'm going to live for Him. I'm just going to believe Him. I choose to be joyful so I can bring Him glory. Amen? It says, glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is how you. This is one way you let your light shine. Honor Him. Put Him first. Put Him above you, right? And one way we do that, just by believing His word. If He said, you can do all things through Christ, what does that mean? You can do it in Christ. That doesn't mean it's okay then. I want to bring Him glory, so I'm going to believe I can do all things through Christ. With God, all things are possible. It's not possible to be impossible. So if you're facing something that looks impossible, you don't go, oh, this ain't going to work. This is impossible. That's not bringing Him glory. At least believe what God said. All things are possible. It said it. It's right there. Well, you don't know this situation. He said all things are possible to him who believes. Why? Because that brings Him glory. I'm telling you, when you get that mindset, God, I want to live to bring you glory. I want to bring you glory. How do I do that? By believing what you said in your word and not backing away from it because of what other people say. How would you respond if Jesus was standing next to you personally? You could see Him. He's like right next to you. And someone goes, oh, I don't believe in that Bible stuff. What are you going to say? Oh, I know what you mean. I know how you feel. I don't think Noah's Ark was really real either. And Jesus is standing right next to you. I don't believe really Jesus is the Son of God. You wouldn't go, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Oh man, you'd be like, don't smoke him, Jesus. Hold on, don't hurt him. He said, no, he loves you. He's got these eyes of compassion. And he died. He's got these scars in his hands, on his back. His whole body, man, was marred for you. He died for you. You don't live. And that would bring who glory? That's not about you, because you're magnifying who? Him. You're bringing Him glory, bringing Him honor by your faith and your trust in His word. So that's the challenge this week. I think we'll start talking about our faith, realizing, as Peter said, that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. More precious. Because Jesus said, when He comes, will He find faith? You say, yeah, you're going to find it with me. Because I want to honor Him. I'm going to believe His word. I'm going to trust in Him. With God, all things are possible. To those who what? Who believe. Not to everyone, but to those who believe. Are we looking at some believers in here? Amen? We sure are. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy and for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for helping us honor You by our faith, Lord, of just simply believing that we can bring You glory and honor, as Your word says, to just because of our humility and our trust in Your word. It reflects how great we believe You are in our life. And we just thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for enabling us to not just be Your children, but to bring You much glory and let our light shine bright as we just simply have faith in You and in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get ready for the offering. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand. And I think another key in our life, we can honor God by, of course, as we give, right? As the Bible says, as you purpose in your, what? Your heart. What's in your heart? That's what you give. It's what's in your heart. So we give because we love Him and we want to bring Him honor and we want to bring Him glory, right? And I think it's, I was thinking about this. In 100 years, I think probably all of us will be gone if the Lord tarries. We'll be in heaven, right? But if I really would like us to think, how, when we're in heaven, we can't do anything more to honor God like we could have when we were on the earth, right? So this time that we have right here and now is the time to honor him. It's the time to show him, Lord, I just want to honor you. And my heart, you know, is that you maximize, that we maximize this opportunity. When we get to heaven, everyone will be shouting, glory, hallelujah. It will be great. And it'll be wonderful. But how are we honoring the Lord right here and now? We can do it better. We can, you know, be in a better position to bring him glory and honor and choose to believe. And people will look back and you can make an impact on people's lives as they look like, man, that person really influenced me or they really helped me. Why? Because they help me recognize or see God clearer. Amen? I want you to honor God, to bring him glory. I really don't want you to remember what I said. That would be kind of a bad thing. Oh, yeah, that's about Bobby's funny. That's about, you know, that guy, whatever his name was. No, I want you to see Jesus. See, man, Jesus changed my life. Who spoke? I don't remember. But Jesus was so real. He's so real. That's what you want in your life, him to be so real that he gets all the honor and all the glory. Amen? Let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give to you today. We give with a happy, cheerful, glad, joyful heart, knowing that whatever we sow, we shall also reap. We just thank you, Lord, for honoring us as we honor you, that you're bringing us up higher. Lord, you're lifting us up, Lord, so that we can bring you much glory. We thank you that we will shine as bright as the brightest stars in heaven. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple of announcements. So men, we're shooting for a movie next Saturday, right there?
Or the 8th, whatever, either the next Saturday or the
next.
Depending on the choices.
Did everybody get my text this past week? Yeah. Okay. So next, we'll text it next Saturday. We wanted to go see, well, there's all really good movies out. You got The Apostle Paul. You have
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead, Part 3, right?
Correct.
And then I Can Only Imagine. So we want to see those as quickly as, not quickly as possible, but sooner than later, because I don't know how long they'll be in the theaters and that type of thing. And also, we want to have a men's overnight, probably like the third or fourth Friday to Saturday in April. And it's just, it's not like a encounter like the ladies. We're much more spiritual. We don't need two nights. We just need, you know, one night of, we'll get it done quickly. No, but it'd be a fun time. I thought, you know what? We get to hang out. We just sit, talk, barbecue, maybe hike a little bit, you know, skip some rocks, do something of that nature. But we'll keep you posted on that, okay? But if you get a text, please text me back so we know exactly if that's a good day or not a day, or if we have options so we can kind of plan, okay? All right. All right. Anything else? Anybody?
Fifth Friday Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Friday's on Friday.
Fifth Friday Fire this Friday.
At
7 p.m. So, is that at our house?
No, it's in Vernon.
It's in Vernon?
Shepherd Creek Ranch.
Shepherd Creek Ranch.
If you need information, you can text me and I'll send you the flyer.
Yeah. If you need information, text Jane.
And then also Resurrection Sunday is
next week. Yeah, so Resurrection Sunday is next week. So come prepared for that. And, you know, just come honor the Lord, right? Invite, you know, something I realized, and I was talking to my oldest daughter over there before, was you can talk to people, invite people to church and tell them about the Lord. You're not responsible for them to come. There's a difference, meaning I'm not trying to convince you to believe in Jesus. You're not supposed to. You just invite them. You just say, hey, I'm inviting you. I don't have to apologize for believing a why or anything like that. I just invite them. What they do is up to them. And then my job is to come. Because what if they came and you did come? Ever had that? I had that happen before. Not to me, but friends of mine. Somebody walks through the door and they go, hi. Hi, good to see you. Yeah, so-and-so invited me. Oh, they're not here. Then they're like, well, how come they invited me, but they didn't come? Well, that, I don't know. Maybe there was something that happened. But that's important. Once you invite someone, you should come too, right? But as we honor the Lord and we grow and we keep honoring him, he'll lift us up. He'll bring us up to a higher place. Amen? And then when people look at us like, hey, you're such a great this or that, say, no, it's all the Lord. The Lord's helped me, right? He's helping me. He'll help you. He'll help us move up higher in him. We're growing up in him. So from faith to faith, and that would equal from honor to honor. Amen? Can you see the connection, though, between honor and faith? As you believe, you know, let me just say this, then I'll get you guys out of here. But I recognized this as a kid. When the Bible says, honor the Lord, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That you might live a long life on the earth, right? Now, when I understood honor them, okay, I could put myself in some, I could do some wrong things as a kid. But I had that promise. My faith grew stronger knowing, hey, I'm trying to honor my parents. I might have made some mistakes here, but you said you'd give me a long life on the earth. So it helped my faith. As I showed honor, it increased my faith. Does that make sense? Because I obeyed God's word, then I could believe that the other part, my faith grew, and he gave me the ability to grow. He gave me the ability to perform and to do the things that he called me to do, or that he's calling you to do. Our part is the faith part, and to honor him. As we do that, he gives us the grace. He gives us the ability, whether it's to get out of debt, to increase here, to get promoted, to do whatever. As we honor him, he moves us up. He honors us. Our job is to believe, right? His job is to make it happen. So that's all we got to do. We just got to do our part and let him do what? His part. Amen? All right. God bless you all. Get out of here.